to another episode of Sober Chat. I'm your host, Christy. First thing I want to mention is a catch-up with the transparent soap. I haven't forgotten about it. I'm still continuing to research it. Things I'm looking at right now are like the stearic acid. Do I want to go with stearic acid or do I want to go with something more natural like kokum butter? And do I want to use Everclear or would it be better to go with 99% rubbing alcohol? So I'm still kind of researching it before I use it. I can tell you, honestly, after everything I've watched with regards to making transparent soap, if I ever have the need for transparent soap, I may just go ahead and buy Melt Implore already done because it just doesn't seem like something I would do on the regular. You never know, though. A year from now, I could have a totally different change of heart and say, I'm using this in just about every soap I make. But for right now, it just doesn't seem viable. For me, individual results may vary. The next thing I want to mention is meat soap. It's a rite of passage. What is meat soap? Meat soap is when you're using the reds and pinks and whites and making a beautiful soap. And then you have a plot twist like strawberry fragrance and you end up with something that looks either like it's marbleized steak or ground beef or meatloaf. And then you're looking at it like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It might smell beautiful. It might look horrible, but it's not a bad thing. It's a rite of passage. So the next time you see meat soap, whatever you're making and it looks like meat soap, give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back. You've kind of achieved meat soap's rite of passage. So it's not a bad thing. Just smile. You'll get past it and learn from some of those fragrances that kind of cause things to go a little south. Like I said, strawberries are my nemesis. I'm still trying to find something that smells like strawberry, but doesn't move like cottage cheese or a brick. Yeah, that's always fun. The next thing I want to mention, recently a supplier went out of business, 1617, not the only one to go out of business, unfortunately, in this day and age. But it was one that kind of surprised everybody. And what I mean by that is at first they had a quote unquote moving sale and then it did just close the doors and it turned out they were filing bankruptcy. So it was a very surprising thing. I hadn't had a chance to buy from them. I was kind of something in the back of my head said, kind of hold off, just wait. Mainly because I have way more fragrances than I know what to do with and I need to stop buying fragrances for a while. It's still my mantra. I need to, yeah. Do I listen to myself? No. Should I? Yes. But I like the fragrances and I need to stop. And I'll get there. One of these days, I'm trying to navigate through the fragrances. We'll get there. I need to inventory. This is also your reminder. Inventory. Now is the best time to inventory because, of course, we've got tax season around the corner. If you live in the United States, everybody else, I don't know if you have tax season coming up. If you do, inventory. It's not required in most cases, but it's good to know what you have. That way you don't surprise yourself and end up like I did with a bottle of something that you already had and you bought more of and didn't need. So it's just like, anywho. What do you do when you have a situation where your supplier goes out of business? Well, number one, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. What do I mean by that? I mean, have more than one source for fragrances or supplies that you buy on the regular and you know they work with what you make. Waxes, fragrances, micas, other ingredients like stearic acid, emulsifying wax, things like that. Make sure you have more than one source that you can buy from that is a pretty reliable source. I buy fragrances from all over the place and have way too much fun doing it too. So shame on me. But just make sure, long story short, make sure you have your sources lined up, second, third, what have you, just to make sure that you don't end up in a situation where your supplier goes out of business. Now, fortunately, with 1617, several other suppliers came out of the woodwork, and which was fantastic. And they stepped up, got the, some people provided them little bits, like 2 ounces of fragrance so that they could get them copied so that they could provide those fragrances to the customers that were kind of out, which was really nice. So places like Bee Scented, Hive and Honey, Maple Street Candle Company, and there's probably more out there that started offering 1617 fragrances, which is fantastic. But the key takeaway from that was a lot of people were out with waxes and fragrances and they were in a panic. But fortunately, like Hive and Honey was able to find some of the waxes, and I think they were able to replace a majority, if not all, of the fragrance selections that were popular with 1617. So, and Maple Street Candle Company did too. So that was definitely a good thing. But it's definitely something to create a wake-up call of, oh my goodness, my supplier went out. Do I have a backup plan? Do I have a backup to my backup? Yeah, paranoia when it comes to, oh my gosh, my supplies are gone. No, it's not a bad thing, but it's something to kind of make you think, all right, I need to make sure I have my follow-up plans. What happens in the event of? Now, there are some suppliers out there that are very stable, which is fantastic, but still, it's always a good idea to have a backup plan, just in case. Never hurts to have a backup plan. You may never have to use it, just like kind of insurance. Yeah, you hope you never have to use it. It's that one thing that you never want to have to use, but thank goodness you have it when you need it. So something to keep in mind. The last thing I want to talk about is password protection and additional security for your social media. What am I talking about here? I've seen at least 3 social media influencers recently lose their pages to hackers. And basically, one instance, the person was holding the page hostage for money. And every time they tried to work out an arrangement with the social media kidnapper, I guess, they used that as a kind of a stepping stone. All right, you gave me this amount of money. I want more. And finally, they ended up having to abandon their page and start a new one and lost all their followers, which is so devastating to see that, you know, they've built up several thousand, 100,000, million followers, and then to lose all of that to a hacker is just terrible. So you want to add some additional protections right off the rip. So ways that you can do that, there's 2-factor authentication is one way that you can protect yourself. What is that? 2-factor authentication, you can have text sent to your phone with a special code that you enter every single time, 100% of the time, every time you log into that social media. You can also have, they have the password authenticators out there, like Google has a Google authenticator. There's also, you can have Facebook, for example, has where if you don't have your phone and you don't have access to your email, you have a person that you can refer to that is your backup. Use strong passwords. Don't use passwords that are your animals, something familiar to you, family, friends, favorite color. Those are usually things that hackers know right off the rip. They're going to be something easily taken advantage of. Be wary of friend requests because you never know. I am very wary of anybody trying to be my friend because, and also messages that you get just out of the blue. Like for example, on Facebook, you'll get a message that says, oh, click on this link. It's total clickbait. And it's probably going to try to hack your social media. So please be careful of those. Also visit the security part of any social media that you use, TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, whatever it's called now, YouTube, all of those. I mean, there's so many different ones out there, but take advantage of the additional security measures that they offer because those are there to help you. The stronger your passwords are, the more you hide your personal information, the more you use additional security with either the text of the security code or the multi-factor authentication, the more you put in front of you to protect your social media, the more a potential hacker will say, this is not worth it. This is too much I have to wade through in order to get to my accomplished goal. I'm going to go after somebody else. Now, that's not 100% guaranteed. There could be somebody that's hell-bent for action and they want access to your page. I cannot guarantee at all. And there's really no guarantees. If they want it and they're smart enough and they're clever enough and they're diligent enough, they could potentially get a hold of your social media. If that happens, just make sure that you have enough with the two-step authentication and password recovery and whatever else you need set up to where you can try to get that back as quickly as possible. Because brutally honest, some of these companies, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Kick, whatever have you, there's no guarantees that they're going to be able to act quickly enough or at all to help you get your page back. Once it's gone, it's very good chance it's gone. I've seen another one. It was a cooking page that had millions of followers and she lost it. Another one was a painter and nicest guy. And somebody hacked his page and they ended up changing it to clickbait page. And he lost all those followers. It's the worst feeling in the world. I feel for those people. I know I'm very small in the grand scheme of things, but I still try to take advantage of the multi-factor authentication and the additional security measures to try to protect myself, because as small as my little page in the little corner of the interwebs is, there's still somebody out there that's going to try to take advantage. So please use your due diligence to protect yourself. I'd hate to see a good soaper or social media influencer lose their page because they didn't have enough security set up to protect themselves. Also, of course, be careful of the phishing. I noticed, as small as I am, I still get those emails, invoices saying, oh, well, here's your invoice for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, I'm small enough that I realize that that's not legit and I'm going to report it for phishing and move on with life and block them and bye. I'm not big enough to have anybody sending me invoices like that. So, and I usually pay up front with anything I purchase, so I don't have to worry about that stuff. Now, you may be a big enough company that you can do things like Net30 where you pay in 30 days. And if you are, congrats. I am happy for you. I think that's fantastic. But if you do, just make sure to do your due diligence and make sure that it's a legit invoice and not somebody trying to cash in on your not paying attention. So please be careful of that. I can't stress it enough. I'm trying to post on the, I'm gathering the information still because I'm not on, and I know it sounds terrible, I'm not on TikTok, but I'm not on Twitter either because I just don't like trying to keep track of all of these social medias. Ah! I just got on Twitch. Hey, I'm moving with the times, slowly but surely. I'm still working up to all of that stuff, but I'm going to gather as much as I can about how to set up the multi-factor authentication to protect yourself on these different pages. And if you happen to have links to the security sites for these companies, I'm going to go ahead and post them on the Soaper's chat page on Facebook. Yes, Facebook, dust me off here. So that if you need help knowing which way to go, you have that. Otherwise, the power of Google compels you. It's not going to hurt you to use Google, Bing, whatever have you, to look up how to set up multi-factor authentication to protect yourself. The more you can put in front of them, the less that they'll want to mess with you and go after somebody who might be more easy pickings. But again, if somebody's adamant that they want to come after you, there's not much you can do to stop that. If you have enough set up to protect you, good. That's going to help in the long run. That if they try to get a hold of your page, you can get it back. And if you've experienced this, my heart goes out to you because that's the worst feeling in the world. I feel for other people that they've got that had that happen to them. Knock on wood. I had that happen with eBay years ago and I was able to get it back because I guess eBay was small enough back then, but I was able to get my page back and I set up multi-factor authentication and stopped that cold. Yeah. So all of the downsides to being on the interwebs. Yes. Well, that's all I have for this episode. If you have any questions, feel free to message me on Soaper's Chat at outlook.com. Otherwise, go to the Soaper's Chat Facebook page. If you have questions that you'd like to ask that I can do some deep diving into the interwebs to find out for you, please let me know. If you have any suggestions for topics of the show, please also let me know. I'm happy to take those questions, do my best to answer them. If you send me something inappropriate, I'll probably laugh as I delete it. But yeah, that's all I have. So I hope you have a wonderful day and bye for now.